Good morning, Teresa.
T.
Good morning, Greg and Jonathan. And yeah, right about now, it's a nice in this area kind of timeline. I'm just saying.
Yeah, we go with the flow. You know, you are flow.
Before flow was progressive.
We just call you flow, okay?
That's right.
Hey, you know, liberals don't like football. I don't know if you know that. We had that brought to our attention.
Yeah, we learned something new today.
I had people on Saturday telling me that I'm with the liberal media and I'm rooting against football. And it's like, people, I want football. I love. It's my job. It's what I cover. When there's been no sports, I've been helping out on our news side. I mean, you know, we sports writers would much rather be at a practice or at a game doing the things that we love to do. Why? Because, you know, sports is called the toy store as it is, and that's because we're getting to have fun, you know, and now with this pandemic, you know, we're hoping there's games at all, but you know, I'll be at the arena in just over an hour for the Predators as they, you know, NHL teams get back on the ice today, start this resuming some training to hopefully play in 3 weeks, and I'm hoping that they do, because guess what, I'd much rather be writing about sports. You know, the politics doesn't come into whether or not we want sports to be played, okay? We want them safe. That's why I've been encouraging masking. And, you know, the reason people were fussing at me on Saturday, guys, is because I retweeted what Greg Sankey, commissioner of the SEC, said on ESPN, and the idea that, he's very, very worried. And if you're not going to listen to the SEC commissioner, if you think SEC, Pac-12, Big Ten, you name it, are changing their schedules, going to, you know, now the SEC is meeting today, you know, they're trying real hard to have their season as is. But, you know, if you think they're changing their schedules that are set years in advance just to own liberals or to own journalists and things like that, then take the tinfoil off, go read a few different media organizations that you usually don't, and widen your horizons, shall we say.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate, T, that a lot of people still feel like, you know, this is no big deal. The media is drumming this COVID-19 thing up. It's nothing more than the flu. It's not that bad. And the numbers seem to dictate otherwise. I mean, you know, and people, you're right. People just need to get smart about it. When Greg Sankey comes out and says, you know, we're running out of time, my concern level is very high, this thing may not happen, I'm sure that opened a lot of eyes over the weekend when he made those statements.
Well, and also on top of that, he also said the issue has now become politicized, right? Which he, only the United States of America can politicize an international pandemic, you know. So that's where we are, sadly, in our country right now, that not only do you have to prove yourself right, you got to prove the other side wrong, and that's why we're like where we are right now. Are you, I guess now that you say you're going down to Bridgestone for a training camp, are you going to follow all of the guidelines in the email you got yesterday about what to do? Because it seems like it's going to be quite extensive what the media has to do to just be able to get in the building.
Well, if you think it's expensive for us, imagine, you know, we're not being tested to at least get in the building. They're taking our temperature and wearing a mask, and that's kind of what I had to do to go to my dentist to get my teeth cleaned in May. It's what I do when I go to get my hair cut. So, that's not too extensive. Now, you know, pro hockey writers got caught taking a selfie together and violating social distance rules, which I'm sorry, you know, yeah, those apply to us too. You know, we're not on the ice, so we do need to keep 6 feet apart. And yeah, at my age, guess what? I love you guys, would love to give a couple of you a hug. You know, JB, I usually try to give you a hug.
Yeah, we hug it out all the time when we see each other.
Yeah, what's up with that, man?
Well, she likes me.
I like him, Greg.
That's right. You have volunteered to be his hall monitor, which I'm going to get to here in a little bit, and a little later, because I was following the tweets from last week.
Yeah, but I'm the same way, T. I'm a very social person. You know, I'm a hugger and all that type of stuff. But you just have to be smart with where we are right now.
Exactly. If I'm going to walk and go out in the street and avoid people when I walk around my subdivision, I'm sure it's not going to keep my distance from you people, because I know what you all are doing. So, you know, but to be serious, I'm going to have my mask. I've got a collection now that I'm accumulating. I think I'm going to go with the peace mask today, but who knows? Maybe I go with the Dr. Seuss today. I just don't know. But, you know, that's the thing. Mask up, take the precautions. You know, the players are the ones being tested. They're the ones who will find out. And you know, if you listen to Ann Air last week, the Nashville SC, they followed all the protocols. They did everything that they could, and they still end up withdrawing from the MLS's back tournament because they ended up having 9 players test positive. So, you know, we're hoping that hockey is back and that they can pull it off. But, you know, our fingers are crossed, because last week we saw Houston Astros cancel a couple of practices because of a couple of tests they were waiting on. So we're in unknown territory here. We know the standards that and the guidelines that we have to follow to try to be safe and cover, because we know people want some good sports news right now. We're just going to do what we can.
Teresa Walker from the AP is our guest. You're hearing you know, some rumblings out of Montreal that maybe a few Canadians players might have COVID-19. The Penguins voluntarily are holding out 9 players because of possible secondary contact, as Charlie was mentioning earlier. Do you think there's enough time to get these players back in, figure out who's got it, who doesn't, get everybody tested, and get everybody healthy by the time they're supposed to go to, you know, whichever hub city in Canada to get this thing started?
Fingers crossed, and yeah. That's the thing. You know, they've got 3 weeks, which is enough time that, you know, to find out who's positive, you know, try to isolate them, and have, you know, if they're asymptomatic, hopefully, you know, they can keep working out separately from folks, and then when they test negative, then they could rejoin, ideally. But that's the challenge. We don't know what this is going to bring. You know, Nashville SC thought that they were good. You know, they waited, had some questions on Thursday night, flew down Friday a week ago, and then boom, you know, a few more come in positive. So this is a day-by-day situation, Jonathan, and maybe even an hour-by-hour situation. So, you know, we're going to see how they can train on the ice, how the positive tests come in, and see where they are when it's time to start heading, in the Predators' case, to Edmonton for a best-of-5 with Arizona.
Teresa Walker, Associated Press writer, at Teresa M. Walker. Just some news coming out today. I want to hit on it. Yeah. PGA Tour announcing that it will play the remainder of its schedule this year. 9 tournaments through the September 4th through the 7th Tour
That's
Championship.
That's unfortunate, because Tiger comes back this week for the Memorial.
Back for the Memorial. And they were the one that they had already announced that they weren't going to have fans. They were going to allow up to 8,000 now. And that includes the PGA, which is, you know, obviously one of the 4 majors. August 6th through the 9th. Now, we're waiting on this, because the PGA does not conduct the U.S. Open or the Masters. One done by the USGA, and obviously the other's done by the people at Augusta.
Right.
So, but again, what we're seeing, and we're going to hear today, and this is what I'm sort of leading up to today, the ADs, rather the coaches, are meeting, with Zoom with Greg Sankey, as you mentioned, about what to do, the backdrop, Big Ten, Pac-12, conference-only games. I think that, in a lot like the PGA, a lot like others, they're trying to wait as long as they can before they make an ironclad decision. I think that's what's going to come out of the SEC today.
Oh, completely agree. And Greg Sankey said a couple times last week that, you know, anticipating late July. And honestly, they may end up at that point. And the reason why late July, because right before then, you know, is when you would be expecting them to start cranking up fall camp. And then, you know, the other big date is August 19th, guys, at least for Tennessee. That's the day that the Vols go back to class on campus in Knoxville. And in fact, today they just announced that today's the day that students can go in and see. You know, they're having 30% to 40% of their classes online anyway. And so now you can go in and look and see what's going on and see how it changes and, you know, where's your classes going to be and maybe make changes. So, you know, and it all goes back to this. You know, colleges particularly operate in a university setting where, remember, you know, what at every NCAA tournament, what do we hear? Student athlete. Well, you know, this is it. They have to make sure that they're in step with what's going on their campuses, because if not, then it puts lie to the whole thing, that thick leaf of education, and points out the fact that they're doing this for millions and millions of dollars. So, and they're trying to keep people, healthy. You know, Penny Hardaway said last week that four of his basketball players tested positive last month when they came in. I mean, you know, Tennessee has been pretty good on, you know, football. The couple of tests that they had were on the basketball team, and they have now seemed to have, you know, recovered or tested negative. But, you know, that's the thing. There are so many moving pieces that all have to be taken care of carefully.
T, I tweeted yesterday, got a little bit of flack for this, but I tweeted, you know, been watching NFL ball for four decades now, and, you know, the Washington team name was an issue back when I was 9 and 10 years old watching NFL ball. I never thought I'd see the day that they would actually follow through and change the name, but, you know, that's what's happening as we speak right now in D.C. Just your reaction to that, you know, we're old school NFL fans. I know you're, you know, a Dolphins fan. I'm a Giants fan. You know, you're from Chicago, the Bears, this, that, and the other. The Washington, you know, Redskins were one of those traditional teams, and now we're going to see a significant change. This is a monumental day in sports, not just the NFL, no?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when I lived in East Tennessee, you either got Atlanta Falcons games one season or you got Washington games one season. I remember watching Art Monk set a record, you know, back in the day. So, but here's the thing. The reason why they didn't announce a name today is because Dan Snyder delayed this so long that a lot of trademarks reportedly are, you know, trademark issues are the problem. And anyone who covered the Oilers changing the Titans like Greg and I did, you know, everybody wants to get in on it. So I'll make you a bet that every name in under the sky that could have been used has probably already been trademarked with websites, you know,
right,
booked away. And so
the little R at the end of their logo there, that little circle R.
Yes. And so they're having to work through some of those issues that if they had done this sooner, and the thing that made this happen, you know, it wasn't, you know, it became because of the dollars. When FedEx and other companies spoke up and said, you know, we're not happy with this, you got to make a change, isn't it amazing how quickly it changed? All the other protests were fine, but until it hits the bottom line, that's when change happens.
Hit them where it hurts, right?
Amen. Always work.
Wednesday, Teresa, the deadline for extensions for anybody with the franchise tag, and of course that includes Derrick Henry. He's due to get $10.2 million, I believe, with the franchise tag this year. What say
you?
To use John Burton, what say you? does it get done, or are we just going through the year and maybe it'll work out during the, later on or whatever? But they've certainly had plenty of time to get the parameters set and get this deal done by Wednesday.
Well, here's the thing. In a normal situation, I think they'd have a deal absolutely by 3 p.m. on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But this whole pandemic thing throws the numbers into the air. You know, the NFLPA is saying, listen, you know, let's agree to this number and spread the pain of the hits that are going to be taken from this pandemic over the next decade. Well, we don't know what that means for the salary cap next year. And, you know, John Robinson said last week that, you know, that's the problem. I mean, you know, if you're trying to go buy a house, how do you figure out what the mortgage payments are going to be when you're not sure how much money you're bringing in from your job? So, you know, the contract, TV contracts are one thing, but when you take away the money of potentially having only a quarter of your stadium filled or empty, that is a financial hit, and that makes it challenging because, you know, after you do Derrick Henry, then, are you still trying to get Jadeveon Clowney? Are you, you know, and it looks like, guys, you know, the idea of extensions for people like Jonnu Smith, Jayon Brown, Daquan Jones, that's going to have to wait maybe even until, you know, next year.
Right.
Because why? Pandemic. You know, I don't know how you make some serious decisions. And, you know, I don't see how you can commit. I don't know how the Chiefs managed to commit all the money they did to Patrick Mahomes a week ago, with the exception of that's an incredibly team-friendly deal. Huge eye-popping numbers, but I guarantee you guys in year 5, 6, 7, 8, he's going to be cheap for them at that point.
Teresa, Jeff Schwartz, former NFL offensive lineman, now doing some media stuff. Basically, he dropped a bomb on Nashville yesterday, basically saying Titans fans are delusional if they think, you know, they can match what they did last season. Basically, you know, in a nutshell, saying you know, kind of got lucky to get to where they were, and that the enthusiasm of the fan base does not match the talent on the roster. And then he showed a clip of Jeffrey Simmons sacking the quarterback and mistook him for Jarrell Casey and said, see, this guy's not even on your roster anymore. So, you know, this is the time of year, though, for fans to be optimistic, right? I'm a Giants fan. I know we stink, but I'm optimistic. Why not? We got Saquon Barkley, Daniel Jones. I'm optimistic about the Titans. Why wouldn't I be, right?
Jeff Schwartz needs to understand that he needs to look at this team as not Marcus Mariota as a quarterback. The guy who's quarterback is the guy who went 7-3 down the stretch. And that's the problem. You know, some of these national folks, and I know Jeff played in the league, but you know, the fact that he looked at that and couldn't understand who actually made the play is one thing. You know, I mean, hello. But that's the thing that's so annoying here. You know, just get the facts right. This, you know, the Titans are going to have to convince people that they're the team that went 7-3 and went into New England, went into Baltimore, got leads, had a lead in Kansas City in the AFC Championship before they just kind of ran out of gas and, yes, ran up and against an incredible offense led by Patrick Mahomes. That said, it just makes you want to smack your head at times, doesn't it? I mean, you know, this team was averaging 30 points a game last year. I mean, you know, with Ryan Tannehill in this offense, they lose one starter off the offense. Yes, Jarrell Casey is going to be in Denver, but, man, have you seen the pictures of Jeffrey Simmons? You know, we don't know what Vic Beasley's going to bring. So there are some questions about defense. We don't know if it is going to be Vrabel calling the plays, who I think it will be. But, you know, that's the challenge is how things – just take a look at this team. But, I, you know, the one thing I've seen, this will be my 24th season covering the Titans, is I know this. They are constantly downgraded, expected to be bad, and they have to literally go out on the field every year and prove them wrong. For the past decade, it's been a lot of the proving them right. But right now, four straight 9-7 seasons, that didn't come from nothing.
Teresa Walker with us every Monday morning. Teresa, as always, appreciate it. Talk to you next
Monday.
Thanks,
T.
Thank you, guys.